The sermon this morning comes from John chapter 8, starting with verse 48. As we start at verse 48, we are entering into, I would almost call it a discussion, between Jesus and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's more like a toe-to-toe, I don't even want to say debate, because you can't really debate with God, but these people are sure trying. And Christ is standing his ground, and Christ is speaking eternal truth to this crowd. And you'll see their response here, and Jesus' response to their resistance to him. John chapter 8, starting with verse 48. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death? Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Pray with me. Our God, help us now. Help us to look and to discern your word. Be glorified as we look at you and as we understand the truth of your Son. And as our hearts and our attitudes reflect the reality of Jesus Christ as the one true God. Bless us now as we pursue you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am blessed with early memories in my life. I have a memory of being 2 years old or 3 years old. I also remember being 4 or 5 years old, and different things took place. And one of the memories that stand out sharpest in my mind was when I was a disobedient child. I think I was about 4 years old. I was in my parents' kitchen. It's in the same house that they have today. My father gave me some instruction. I ignored his instruction. He took me by the arm and he started to take me to where I needed to go. And I remember the feel of his hand snapping off my arm as I pulled it away. I forced myself and started to squeeze myself between the refrigerator and the freezer. There wasn't much space. That tells you how small I was. And I remember looking up at my dad and saying, "Dummy." And I remember his face changing. And after that, it's mostly a blur. I remember considerable discomfort. We've all seen situations where things aren't what they are supposed to be. And the area of honor, and we're dealing with the idea of honor here in Scripture. And whenever I hear honor, my mind runs to the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And it seems to be the clearest picture that we can really get in our lives and in society. We've all been in shopping areas where we see children dishonoring their father or their mother, and we all felt our own faces flush as we see those situations, as we're embarrassed for the child, we're embarrassed for the parents, and sometimes there's even a sense of righteous indignation that rises up in us, and we would long to see a child disciplined in those situations. Well, now, the face of that tension the face of that ugliness that we experience. Here we see this picture on a much larger scale being played out. As we see a group of people who should automatically be filled with a sense of duty and a sense of reverence and honor directed directly towards Christ, we see the exact opposite taking place here. We see an ugly dishonor here. Now, as we consider this, maybe you've seen the other side. Maybe you've seen a child that's obedient. Maybe you've seen a child that's loving. And we wouldn't just long for an obedience that's the letter of the law. Some begrudging, foot stomping, going and doing what you've been told. But maybe you've seen a good son at some point. Maybe at some point you've seen a son that goes out of his way to honor his father or his mother for the sake of seeing them smile. See, that's a picture of true honor. That's a picture of a true godly obedience. And as we look at these scriptures here, we see that the tension here is that the Pharisees, these rulers of the day, they're the ones who look the Father in the face and shout, "Dummy." But the heart that's manifested here by Christ in this setting, he could have rightly called down fire on the people. He could have rightly, completely justified himself. But the posture that Christ even takes here is a desire for the Father to be glorified. In your life, you have the opportunity, the blessing, to demonstrate that beautiful honor just for the sake of knowing that your Heavenly Father smiles on your obedience. Now, as we look here, Jesus is saying that the Father honors me. And Jesus is talking about honoring the Father. In my mind, I have this picture, and I just have these blocks drawn, and I have this picture, this block that's Jesus. He honors the Father. I see this arrow going upward. And as a result, as he does that, God, who is above everything, is just pouring this honor and this glory down to the Son and blessing Him. And as you and I embrace this reality of who Jesus is and what He has accomplished, our hearts fill with a sense of honor towards Christ. Looking at the way that He lived and the way that He loved, the way that He completed all righteousness for you, the way that He atoned for your sins, He paid for your crimes on the cross. From this place, and as you embrace this reality, there is an affection that builds and flows. And as you meditate on this truth, we will honor the Son. We will love Him and we will bless Him. And this is the call this morning for you to focus your affections, to focus your heart on all this reality and this truth of who the Son is, the way He lived, the way He loved, and as a result, to honor Jesus Christ in the ways that you live and the ways that you love. Our first step, we look at verse 49, John 8:49. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." So this first step here is direct your heart to honor the Son. You see, automatically it will be in a default setting where we'll run to honor ourselves. I don't know how many of you get that ugly feeling when you realize that you've just told two or three stories about yourself. Like, oh yes, I've been here honoring myself as I go along. Well, the idea of honor, the word here is timao. It's to estimate or to affix a value to something. To honor is to affix value to something. When I was 16, my grandmother lovingly bought me a car. She spent $3,000 and she got me this car. And I, is either maybe it's ignorance or just immaturity, I did not take good care of my car. I don't know if I didn't know how to do it. I don't know what the situation was or if I didn't care. I just took full advantage of having this thing. I used it and I used it and I used it. And one day when I was driving home, it was overheating. It may be because it didn't have any radiator fluid. It may be because it didn't have any oil. I don't know. I didn't take care of it. Well, as I was driving home and it was overheating, what I would do is I'd put it in neutral and let it coast and think, maybe that'll help things cool down. Well, I was coming and I was about to go down this big hill and I thought, well, now is a good opportunity to put it in neutral. And as I'm going down, I thought, you know, I'm not just going to put it in neutral. I'm going to go ahead and shut it off. That'll really help it cool off as I go down this hill. What I didn't understand at that point was, if I shut off my car, not only do I not have power steering or power brakes, but my steering wheel will lock also. And that's what happened. Well, this hill is called State Lake Hill. My children know it as the place where Boo Boo died. That was the name of my car. And as I went down the hill and the steering wheel locked up, snap, snap, and I begin to panic and push on the brakes, and I'm picking up speed, and I'm picking up speed, and I'm picking up speed, and I can see further down this hill there's a sharp bend, and there's literally a cliff there at that point. And my car started to go off of the road a little more, and branches start hitting my car, and then a tree blows up the side view mirror, and there's just one little tree left that could possibly stop me before I go over this cliff, and I tensed up, and I hit that thing, and the radiator exploded, and dirt debris flew everywhere, the tree fell down on my car, and I remember just afterwards shaking my head here, and there, crack, 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 in my neck as a result. My car died. My car was dead at that point. And the reason was, I did not affix any true value to my car. Car requires maintenance. Car requires care. And as we consider the honor that we would give to Christ, that looks like stuff. It looks like us doing things. Now, never get the idea that I'm suggesting that you earn your salvation by doing things. But honoring God looks like things. Honoring Christ looks like things. It looks like a pursuit of Christ. It looks like seeking Him out. It looks like worship here. It looks like worship in your home. It looks like worship in your life. And if we truly affix value to Christ, it plays out in the ways that we live, and it plays out in the ways that we love. Anything else is a neglect. Anything else is a dishonor. Same dishonor that we see reflected here in the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So we must value the Son in our own hearts and value the Son in our thinking. And then we'll value the Son in our actions. Now, we come and we can look at the reasons why we would honor the Son. What elements of His character would spur something in our hearts to get us to respond in such a way where we demonstrate this honor. Our second step here is honor the Son as the conqueror of death. John 8:51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now that's a pretty appealing concept to me. The idea of never seeing death. Many people that we run into, and I would say the vast majority of mankind, has some sense of the fear of death. We're scared to do it. We're scared to look at it. Most of the time, so we don't want anything to do with death whatsoever. But here, Christ is being put forward as the one who has conquered death, the one who has completely overcome it. And this is the reality of our lives. I mean, we look at His resurrection from the dead, and that's portrayed as His conquering of death. Well, the idea here is, and I'm obviously not saying that my brain waves are never going to stop waving, and I'm never going to stop breathing, or my heart's never going to stop beating. But the idea is that in this life, here and now, in this world, Christ has made it possible to pass from death to life in this realm. In this life. And that when your body dies, you just keep on living. You're not undone by the power of death. I have seen many a beautiful saint on their deathbed. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to go to the other side. Why? Because they were arm in arm with Jesus. They knew that they were in Christ and that Christ had conquered death and that they would surely pass through this circumstance like they had passed through every other circumstance in their life in the arms of Christ. Well, this reality and this truth, it should impact us on the deepest levels of our thinking, the deepest levels of our commitment. And it's not just a place where I don't have to fear someone killing me right now. But it's bringing us through. It does bring us through each circumstance. If you're facing this trial and this hardship, if you're facing this persecution, or facing this abuse, or this neglect, or this abandonment, if you can look and say, Christ brings me through death, how much more so will He bring me through this? And then through the midst of these hardships and these pains and through these trials, we know the reality that we're already rescued. The reality that we are already cared for. Now, obviously, again, this doesn't mean that our physical body is never going to taste death. And obviously, again, it doesn't mean that you will never face trials. In fact, I promise you, you will. But through them, Christ has cared for you and He has already blessed you. And He walks with you through these valleys of the shadow of death. Now we look again, we'll look at verses 52 and 53. The Jews said to Him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" And with that last question there, I bring you the question, who is He? Who is He? Who is Jesus really? Who is He to you? And this isn't your subjective opinion of Him. This is the question, in what way are you related to Jesus Christ? In what way do you think of Him? How do you know Him? God gives us this, and He's given us this great, big, wonderful book of Him uncovering who He is for the purpose of our wrestling with this idea. And I call upon you to wrestle with it. To wrestle with the idea of who Christ is. You know, in my own relationship, I have discovered with my wife that she wants to be discovered. She doesn't want to necessarily give me direct or concise answers. If I ask a question, there are ways that she could answer me and tell me exactly what I want to know. But she would prefer to give me something a bit more vague to give me then the opportunity to explore and get to know her. God gives us the opportunity to explore Him and to get to know Him. This idea is given in 1 Chronicles 16:11, and it's going to be the heart of the sermon this evening. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Seek His face continually. And that's a big thing. That's a big concept that needs a lot of unfolding In our household, we have one child that's called the finder. If I can't find something, I call the finder and I ask him, where is it? And sometimes he'll just ponder for a moment and he can give me the answer. He's my finder. Sometimes he'll say, I don't know, but I'll find it. And he'll take off and he'll go and he'll find it, my finder. Now, if I told my son, go find the face of God, I don't care how much he goes and digs through my house and digs through my closet. If he goes out to the barn and looks around, if he goes and explores the forest, is he going to find the face of God? You see, God is a spirit and doesn't have a body like men. He doesn't have a face that we're going to look here or look there or look here or look there and go and go and go. And aha, I found the face of God. But the idea of seeking his face continually, the idea of exploring and unlocking who he really is, the idea of getting to know him in his depth, is this idea of wrestling with God. Is this idea of the search, the idea of the quest. And he blesses that searching, and he blesses that quest. No matter how smart you are or how smart you ain't, if you look for him with your whole heart, he promises you that you will find him. And if you go to people here, if you haven't done this, and you go to the older saints in the congregation, and you ask them a question about seeking God's face, they will be able to tell you stories about how they have looked for him and how he has revealed himself. And these are some of the greatest blessings of life as you explore the depths of Christ. And this is a way in which we do honor the Son. Our next step here, our fourth step. Glorify the Son as it is the Father's will. See, God the Father calls for the Son to be glorified. And this would have been a shocking statement for the Jews at this point. John 8:54, Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. He says, it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. Now the idea of God glorifying any man would have ticked them off entirely, and rightly so. Because the idea is throughout Scripture that God does not give glory to any mere man, and that glory and honor belongs specifically and only to God. In Isaiah 48:11, this is Yahweh speaking, for my own sake, for my own sake I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? He said there's this divine weight and this divine power, this divine worth that is not applied to man. And yet here Christ is saying, the Father, the one that you call God of everything, glorifies me. How do we get our heads around that idea? How do we embrace that idea? Well, Daniel 7:13-14, it lays out this idea. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And if you study any of Jack Kinnear's work, Jack Kinnear is of the mind that this is the picture of Christ's ascension. He is of the mind that when Jesus flew to heaven and he was then hidden in the clouds, that at that point the Son was then brought and presented to the Father in that setting. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. You see, we honor him and we give him this specific value in our hearts because we see him as this person, having absolute dominion, having this perfect kingdom that cannot be shaken, the kingdom that cannot be undone that we sung of earlier. In this way, He rules in all creation. And when we acknowledge that, when we bow the knee to that, He rules in your heart as well. Giving us this blessing and giving us this beautiful union with Him. Our next step in honoring the Son is honor the Son because He is from of old. Verses 56 through 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." I find something specifically beautiful about things that are ancient. I find things specifically beautiful about antiques, and we look at them and we see a special glory to them. My great-grandmother, I'll even speak of her in these specific beautiful terms. She had what seemed like an ancient grace to me somehow. And I come to learn after being a believer that she did have an ancient grace to her. In the sense that she knew God, and that in the sense that she walked with Him. There was a place at the foot of her bed where the carpet was wore out from her kneeling and praying for all of her grandchildren and all of her great-grandchildren. And I remember after I was saved, I was driving down the road, and I thought I felt something, and I grabbed my mirror and I looked, and I could see that my resting face, the corners of my mouth were turned up a little bit in a smile. And that was one of the trademarks in my mind of my great-grandmother. Her resting face was a smile. And it wasn't because she was rich. She wasn't. She was very poor. It wasn't because she was in great health. She wasn't in great health. But her resting face was a smile because she knew Christ. And after I was saved and I saw that my resting face was smiling for the first time, I rejoiced so much. You see, there's this ancientness to God and this ancientness to the grace that you and I live and dwell and have our being in. And as we look at Christ here, Christ is, He's the road of everything that's ancient. He's the path of everything that extends back into eternity and forward into eternity. This is Christ. And to know Him is to be able to rest in this peace of the Alpha and the Omega. To rest in the peace in the beginning and the end, the One who was and is to come. This is Jesus Christ, who places this ancient grace in us that we live in and have our being in. And it brings us to a place of honoring Him when we think of Him rightly. Now our next step here, step 6, is honor the Son because He is the I Am. Verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now here, Jesus is saying that He is God. He is saying that I am the One who brought you out of the land of Egypt with a mighty arm. I am the One who brought you out of the land of slavery. He's saying, "I am the One who created the heavens and the earth. I am indeed the Everlasting One." Now, if you doubt that at all, if you look there at verse 59, His crowd here, the audience, they got it. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at Him. To their mind, what He had just said was complete and total blasphemy. To their minds, what He had just said warranted death because He declared Himself to be God. Now this puts you and I in a particular place that sets us apart from the rest of creation and sets you apart from every other religion in the world. Those who do not call Jesus God. And it puts us and it puts you in a particular place, in a unique place, where you are in the place to give Christ this honor. In the Psalms, we often talk about spreading the glory of God to the nations. The glory of God is spread to the nations as Jesus Christ is announced as God and as the only Redeemer of man. So if He is this God, if He is God, what place does He deserve in your heart? What place does He deserve in your mind? How should you be thinking? How should you be thinking about Him? How should you be thinking about His Word and about His truth? You see, you are put in this beautiful place of having been given this reality and the opportunity to have the heart to respond to it with love and with honor and with praise. And this plays out as Jesus was talking about when He was talking about the eternal life and never tasting death. He was speaking in terms of keeping His Word, walking in His truth. And this is a part of the maintenance of life, a part of the maintenance of Christian life. It's being properly nourished on the Word, properly nourished in the Gospel. You see, our mind runs to lies, so our mind needs washed with the truth. It needs washed with reality. From this place, we will love. From this place, we'll know Him. From this place, we will seek His face. From this place, we will give Him true honor. So cultivate this honor in your hearts, seeking Christ's face and meditating on Him as He truly is. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank You that You have given us this grace, that You have given us full and complete truth. You've given us everything we need to know You rightly so that we can honor You and pursue You and walk in life. Bless us all to this end. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 91.